Right here in the corner of my screen.
Oh, you're fine.
Yeah. Well, I'm better than Dallas Cowboy fans right now. Boy, Jerry Jones screwed you guys big time. I did not think that was ever gonna happen, but wow, what a slap in the face. Just before the season, too.
All right. Welcome to the Toddcast, everybody.
Hello.
We're back and stuff.
Yes.
Well, we got some things coming up. Next weekend, not this weekend, but next weekend, we have the Planet Death Day up at the warehouse, where you can get your picture with the Planet Death armor, which is kind of cool. And someone from Bad Idea is actually going to be there, so make sure you check that out. As well as Jim Rugg will be there because he did our variant cover. He's going to sign a bunch more if you need one. So if you got one at the con, you get signed. It's time to bring it up there, or just go up and get another one. Whatever.
Yeah, I just saw him this weekend with him and Tom at the West Virginia PopCon. So, everybody that went to that show, I hope everybody had fun. I realized it was going up against Harrisburg, which that was that
Todd said he
and
did good at Harrisburg too, so
well,
good.
it's closer to Philly too, so that doesn't surprise me.
Well,
Like
for what he took, it surprises me because I took Silver Age, but he took some like real high-end stuff. So he did better at it than I did, but I did not do as well with Silver Age there, so I don't know why, but whatever.
Well, it was it the same stuff we took to Neocon? Same exact stuff. Yeah, that's why he did well. It's really good books.
Oh,
When you have really good books, you get good results in usually,
yeah, I mean
not all the time,
he did
but.
some really good sales with it, so and then we also have next weekend Toon Fusion, right? Next weekend?
Yes, it's called Toon Fusion.
Pittsburgh Toon Fusion, which will be downtown at the David L. Lawrence Convention Center. I will definitely be there. I don't know who will be helping me. Possibly Justin. You might just see him walking around as well. But we are going to be doing a giveaway for that. We have four passes to give away. So we're going to do that this weekend, over the weekend, Saturday and Sunday. So if you can go to if you go out to the mills, you'll be able to put your name in the hat, and we're going to draw the winners on Monday. So 2 days to get some cool passes out of that. So make sure you check that out. Thank you, Toon Fusion, for hooking those up. That's pretty cool of you. We appreciate that. Yeah, other than that, it's been pretty meh.
It's a quiet week. It's
Yeah.
no major
It was a big
movies.
release week, though. Like, I have a huge pull this week.
Oh yeah, there was a lot of books, but nothing that I was lit really sticky super sticking out. Like it we a lot of books, but nothing that stuck out in the mind. Like you'll see some of our comic talk here, and I'm going to brutally attack this Batman book hard. This may be the
Oh, so I did not read it because I was like, oh, I almost guarantee Justin's gonna read this. And
because I
I
usually try
also
to read Elseworld stuff.
I also totally called that you were gonna read Biker Mice from Mars, and you did. So I was like, oh, I know him well enough to know that. And then when I saw Hulk in there, I was like, that's it. That's what's gonna be this week. I called all three of your
There's
books.
also the end of Wolverine Kitty Pryde, which actually was actually pretty well done. Again, written by Chris Claremont. I don't, it's hard for him to write about a Wolverine story. I like that a lot, but it's easy for me to give pluses for that. So I decided to take the route of trying to be more diverse. Independent, DC, and Marvel this week.
I mean, I have an IDW book in there for the first time in a while.
Yeah.
I will say though that I sat through my Penguin Monthly meeting, and a book that Justin's definitely going to talk about when it comes out is Spirits of Violence when it comes out, because it is going to be all the Ghost Riders plus Helverine fighting against violence. And I was like, as soon as he said it, I was like, well, there's Justin's book for like a whole couple months worth of episodes.
I'm not
Like,
that into Ghost Rider. I'm a picky Ghost Rider.
yeah, but Helverine's in it too, so.
Hey, yeah, I enjoy Helverine and I like Robbie Reyes Ghost Rider, but like Danny Ketch and
Johnny Blaze.
Johnny Blaze don't appeal to me as much
Oh,
because I feel,
Danny Ketch is my man.
yeah, I mean, it's usually one or the other. Like you either have someone who's OG or they like the Danny Ketch from the 90s. And then
Well,
it's
this is
one or
like
the other.
those two guys, Helverine, the old Spirit of Vengeance, like white Ghost Rider, apparently supposed to be
The
in there.
cowboy? Cowboy?
Yeah,
I call him cowboy.
the girl one, and Robbie Reyes, like all of
Okay.
them are going to be like all like six or seven of them are supposed to be in this book. It's going to
Okay.
be crazy. So,
Yeah. I'm kind of
anyway.
behind on Ghost Rider lore. I know there's like a ton of them now instead of just a
Yeah.
handful, like one or
So
two.
if you guys are into that, or if you're into any of the X-Men Age of Revelation thoughts, where they're going to kind of shake up the X-Men world for a couple months toward the end of the year, make sure you check that out and request your books now so we make sure we get them in for you. But that'll be cool. I actually was interested in the Binary book because it's Binary with the power of the Phoenix, and I was like,
Yeah,
holy fuck, this
we
is going to
haven't
be
seen that in a
awesome.
while. Yeah.
Yeah, well, we haven't seen Binary in general in a while, except for there was one issue of Captain Marvel, where she went Binary, once, like about a year ago, maybe 2 years ago. Anyway, it looks good. So, some of them look cool. Like X-23 is going to become Sabretooth.
I
There's
see.
an Iron Man Emma Frost, book that's apparently going to change really how we think about Iron Man and Emma Frost, like as characters. That was the one that spiked the most interest, and was talked about the most when we had our meeting. So make sure you check the stuff out. It's gonna be cool. So
I saw the Wolverine is Wendigo or Wendigo Wolverine. I was like, oh, okay. So it's either Wendigo from like the current Wolverine that he took over Wolverine's mantle, maybe. Is that who it is? Okay. That makes sense. That's why they inserted him in there. Okay. But I like that character, so I'm kind of curious now. So that might be there. So that'll be interesting. But I did hear a lot of negativity about it as well, where, people just want, I just want my 90s X-Men. I just want my regular X-Men. That's all I care about. I don't want anything new. Yeah, the usual
Well,
bah
apparently
humbug.
it's not going to be a long, long time, but I think it's going to be like a 4 or 5 month thing is what I'm understanding. Like
Okay, so it's going to be like an
Marvel
event.
has not, yeah, Marvel has not confirmed how long it will actually go.
Okay.
But speaking of events, it was discussed that the Avengers X-Men Eternals book is going to be adapted into one of the MCU films in like the next 10 years, which I thought was cool because I was like, holy shit, well, there's the X-Men. And Eternals coming back, which I also thought was good.
So I guess the back issues are going to be pillaged a little bit.
Well, it's a good thing that they made like a bazillion of that book, so.
Yeah. How many different printings did they make
Oh
out
my
of
God.
those?
Well, they didn't need to. They had that free comic book day issue one, and it was like
Oh,
literally
you're
like
talking about the current one, not the
the
previous
AXE.
one. Yeah. Not the previous one where it was the, the Phoenix Force and they were going up against.
No. That was Avengers versus X-Men, which is different. This is of Avengers, X-Men, and Eternals, like the Judgment Day one. That's what I'm talking about. So,
We'll see how
yeah.
that goes.
Also, Peacemaker is back. I'll be doing a spoiler-filled review of the first episode here because the second episode will actually start airing or drops when we're done with this show. So I'll watch that then. But I'll talk to you guys all about it after we do our comic reviews. So, other than that, I think that's it. I think we're ready to do comics. So, all right.
No, no celebrity deaths this week, or significant celebrity deaths, I should
Right.
say.
Well, we're gonna get your shit posting right out of the way here.
All right. We got Immortal Legend Batman, and this is an Elseworld story. So before everybody gets their panties in a bunch, this is not OG Earth One, Earth Prime Batman. This is a Batman from space, because it starts out in space with a spaceship being shot down, shooting down another. Apparently, the spaceship that got shot down was a smuggler, and the person, and then the pursuer was Batman. I'm assuming this is years in the future, whatever, because they refer to it as the Immortal Legend, Batman. And apparently he kills what they call shadows, which are basically like dark shadow creatures. So, so hard to think of a proper name there. But as he's interrogating this smuggler, he's asking where Bruce Wayne is. So right there, you're getting the curveball of this Batman's not Bruce Wayne. And as this is happening, we see three people on the same planet, Ava Veer, Mayor Dent, and Sheriff Bruce Wayne. And they are talking over a murder. You see this mutated corpse in this mine. I guess it's like a mining town. It's in space, but it's very old school Western. So we're going with some Firefly aesthetic here, where yes, we're in space with spaceships and laser guns, but we have the cowboy aesthetic of brown trench coats and little sheriff stars. I'm like, this is first and foremost, I have to say, this is very not creative whatsoever. The fact that you had to use Firefly as your reference is sad. I respect it to a degree of there are fans of Firefly out there, which I am one of them, but this was kind of weird. Batman confronts Dent and Wayne as they return back to the town, saying that Bruce Wayne is a shadow. And Dent is like, well, shadows aren't intelligent. They don't have, thoughts. They don't even morph into human beings. Turns out the shadow, they call the shadow the Two-Faced Man. So I guess this is the version of Two-Face. Which the design looks pretty cool. It looks very like the shadow version kind of looks very badass in it. Like this, I feel like they're like, let's do a book, but instead of Batman Beyond, we have regular Batman. Because this is the vibes it's getting off, because he's shooting batarangs out of his wrist. I couldn't get into this book. It too many borrowed ideas instead of doing something a little bit more original. He does reveal Batman does reveal he is the real Bruce Wayne to Ava and Dent, to prove that he is Bruce Wayne and this imposter was a shadow. He does defeat this shadow, He ends up rescuing Ava and Dent because apparently it caused some sort of mind collapse, so he saved them. And then he returns back to Earth. You do get a thing of like a little bit of an origin of this, where it's like part mysticism, part tech thing. And it's you we're going to get a Robin version of this apparently, because you get a Robin thing and a Nightwing at the same time. So you're getting Robin and Nightwing, and Batman.
I mean, the only thing I'll say is I like the outfit design. So I think the
It's
art looked good.
just it's all over the place. I'm just not feeling it. It's I love Batman Beyond. I feel like this spits in Batman Beyond's face. Like, it's like,
Yeah,
here's
but
all
Batman
these.
Beyond is a different, completely different idea, though.
I get it. I get it. It's this is Elseworld. They could do whatever they want, like tweak things here and there. But I'm sorry, it's just not working for me. I'm gonna give this like a 3 out of 12.
Wow.
It's this has got to be the worst Batman I've read. And there are a lot of bad Batman books. But this one, it's I don't like their explanation. I don't like their origin with this. It just it's not making much sense. I mean, I'm is there I don't know how many issues they're gonna make out of this, but you've already lost me. It's just it maybe it's just not made for me. I get it. This does seem very anime-ish. Like it's you can tell by the style, this is very Japanese anime
Influenced,
style.
yeah.
Yeah. I get it. That's and I normally I don't have an issue with that. I love anime. But I hate Batman, like where they're trying to force stuff onto Batman and make it different for different sake. I mean, I know it's
Well, that's the
probably,
point of Elseworlds, so.
maybe it's just this might be like the one Elseworld Batman where I don't care. I don't care about it. Like, I
And
love all
that's
the,
fine. Yeah, I mean, like, you know, a lot of people didn't like Earth One. A lot of people didn't like in Blackest Night. And some people
And
didn't
there,
like what was the one with where he was like walking through the desert with Joker's head in a lantern that Gus Snyder did.
the Omega with the Omega and being there. Forgot the name of the title, but
Yeah,
I love that.
whatever that one was called.
I love that, but this one just felt forced. Like, it's not subtle differences. This is just like. It reminds me of late 80s He-Man when they were trying to reboot the original He-Man and go from
Oh, you mean the blonde,
space He-Man,
long hair, blonde, shitty,
with the hair.
future. It was future He-Man, like where he went
Was
into the
it?
future. Yeah,
And
like
then,
he goes into his own future, and that's, yeah.
this is what it kind of it feels like to me, where it's like, oh, immortal Batman. I'm like, okay, what makes him immortal? They don't explain it. And I'm like, okay, this is really, I'm like, explain. No explanation. I'm like, okay, well, maybe they'll explain it later. But as far as this is probably gonna be my first Elseworld Batman that I will not have in my collection. This is, I have all the other ones. Like, I love Elseworld, Dracula, Batman. I like
Gotham by Gaslight.
Gotham by Gaslight, Batman. Like, I love those because they're probably it's the time, like a period piece, and I love like old school Dracula stuff. This just feels, I don't know. Just it's something that rubs me the wrong way, and I just can't force myself to like it.
It's all good. All right. Moving on. Whoops. There we go. Green Lantern 25. So this book, so the artist changed from the other books in this book. This artist
Are they riding like
is
dragon versions of their
no, I'll explain that in a
rings?
second. So this is Viken Mart or Marion, who has done he's done a lot of cool art. He's got a very anime style. I talked to him a little bit at Heroes Con, and I do like his style, and it very much so fit this book. But it's still Jeremy Adams continuing his story. So the where it starts is so everybody is breaks through the source wall finally, because they're getting kind of summoned and they don't know what from. These are what is over there, and it's this other universe's the other side of the source wall's versions of their entities is what it is, right? So the green one would be why can't I think of his name? It's not well. The orange one's Parallax. The purple one is the Predator, and the green one is Ion, right? So they're all this other universe's versions of their entities, right? So they kind of go meet them, and they realize that the white entity was the only one that could break through the wall. He went over and took over, like possessed Kyle and kind of brought everybody over, and that's how that worked out. But as they're talking to all of them, Hal realizes that they just want to get to the other side of the wall to feed on emotion. So he doesn't trust them at all. And everybody else is like, "What are you doing?" And so he kind of makes a pact with them that they can help them fight the Dark Stars, but they may not necessarily get to stay on their side of the Source Wall. So Kyle turns White Lantern. Everybody gets to be on a different kind of entity. So Hal's obviously with Ion, Carol's with Predator. Oh man, why can't I think of who's on the blue one? Guy's on the purple one. Or Anya is on the blue one. Joe is on the greed, and Sinestro's on the red, and the yellow is Kilowog, and who the hell else was the other one? Kilowog, and I want to say it's Jessica, but that's not right. Hold on. But the art in this book is just absolutely fantastic, just so you know. It is maybe I'll tell. Nope. Oh yeah, it is. It's definitely Jessica. So anyway, they basically get their they each get their own kind of entity to ride. They put like these energy leashes slash collars on them to ride them, and then they take on the Dark or the Starbreaker Corps, the Starbreaker Brothers, and at some point they realize their powers in their ring. So Hal just makes a giant Buster Sword construct and literally cuts the dude's arm off or hand off that he had his ring on, and then Sinestro's like, "Well, I can't let Hal be the only one who gets all the glory," so he does it to the other guy. And they both kind of run off to the, because it severs their tie to the Grey Lantern. So he lets them kind of get a head start, and then all of them are following him at the end of this. So I really enjoyed it. It started off slightly slow, But picked up pretty good within the first like 2 pages, 3 pages, or after the first 2 or 3 pages it picked up. So I really enjoyed it. I'm giving this book a 10 out of 12. Because while I do like the art, I'm also not a big fan of the anime style art. And I get that that's what Ken does. It is one of those things where I was really loving the guy who did the art beforehand. I thought his art fit it a little bit better. But this just really worked. I don't know if Marion is a is going to be the consistent artist or if he's just going to be a fill-in. But either way, it's really good. Make sure you guys check it out.
I love the cover. It's very badass. That would be a good, see if you could get that original art piece there. That'd be cool.
That would probably be like multiple thousands of dollars, and I'm not
Oh,
going
I'm
to do that.
sure. I'm sure. I have no doubt. I will. I am continuing reading my Biker Mice from Mars. This is number three. Now, this is the aftermath of the volcanic disaster that hit the village that the biker mice helped. Rescue. And also you see through this comic where they're trying to fix everything. It's like a it's like a rescue mission with the Mars version of FEMA, so to speak, where they're rescuing, they're trying to rebuild, they're trying to evacuate the citizens, stuff like that. But you're also seeing the that Limburger, for those who don't know who Limburger is, he is the bad guy in the original cartoon series, but he's basically middle management. The true bad guy is these aristocratic Plutarchian who's basically like treating Limburger like garbage, which I love to see in this book. Because in the cartoon series he's always getting away with everything. This one he got like stuff thrown at him. He did send one of his lackeys who ended up being this a heavy metal guitarist, which again, I understand, heavy metal's evil and all, but I'd love to see a comic book, other than what Murder Falcon, where heavy metal is looked at as a positive thing. But the heavy metal guy is a henchman. Apparently, he has the power to use his guitar to cause damage, which he does. The biker mice fight him, take care of him. But as they do that, they can't find Carbine, which is what's his name's girlfriend, the leader of the resist, the female mouse that's in the love interest there, and she's also in command of the army and whatever. She's missing. So that's the way the book ends. This was fun. It's again, you're getting more peek of what happened on Mars before these guys came down to Earth, before the cartoon even started. So we're getting closer to, how they are, like how they're, what happened to them, this, that, and the other, because we haven't gotten to the fun part where they look like they get tortured and captured and stuff yet. I'm sure that's going to come eventually. But I'm really am enjoying the origin background of these characters. We don't get to see them till they come to Earth in the 90s cartoon. So I love seeing this, the story, and it's interesting. It keeps everything relevant, everything's connected. The art is fun because it's looks they look pretty much on par with what the 90s cartoon looked like too. So it's, you know, I can't complain. There were no like liberties you know, taken with that. But I'll give this a solid 12 out of 12 on this. This is it, I'm really enjoying this.
That's
It's
awesome.
fun.
I was not
Yeah.
expecting a 12 out of 12, but that's awesome.
I like Biker Mice. It's one of the last like 90s cartoons that I think got like screwed over because people were kind of tired of watching cartoons or the
Oh yeah, 'cause
company.
they started shifting to like the beginnings of CGI and stuff like that around then. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, where we got the weird 90 or the mid 90s to late 90s stuff that looked like garbage and
Well, I mean there was Beast Wars, there was Reboot, there was a
Reboot
couple
was
other ones.
creepy. Reboot
Yeah,
was creepy.
I liked Reboot. I thought it was good. So, all
Yeah.
right. My next book is Speed Racer number 2. And this picks up right where Speed Racer 1 left off. So Pop's in the hospital and Speed and Spriddle are like, "What the hell do I do?" They find out he needs a heart transplant. And the only way to afford a $1 million heart transplant is Speed's going to race against his father's wishes. So he takes the Mach 5, goes up to a qualifier. The cat gang guys kind of give him shit and then tell him, like, "You could be part of our team if you win. Your brother was part of our team." And he's like, "Well, my brother died while he was racing for you, so fuck off." So then he goes and finds Trixie, the Turnwell Enterprises, driver, oh my God, what is his name? Hold on. Piston Powers, goes on strike. So, Speed begs her to race under his or under her stuff. She's like, "Yeah, sure, why not?" They do the race and everybody's giving them shit about the Mach 5 because it's like an older style car. They call it like an antique and stuff. And surprise, he wins the race. He kind of embarrasses the cat gang guys. The announcers love it. He does a lot of spring-loaded jumping over shit. And then at the end, Racer X is saying, I will stop you from getting you're basically like from winning all the time." And then the cat gang is pissed and they're just gonna try to kill him. So it moves very quickly. Ha, Speed Racer joke. It was a lot of fun. I think this book, like, at least leveled out a little bit more from the first one to this one. The art is really, really nice in it. Overall, I really enjoyed it. So I'm going to give this an 11 out of 12. Even though, like, I'm not a huge Speed Racer fan, I just really, really enjoyed the shit out of this book. And I'm not even like a Formula One guy or a NASCAR guy. I just really enjoyed it. Like, it was very well written and very well drawn. So check it out.
All right, my last book is Incredible Hulk number 28. We're getting closer to finding out the I guess what the Hulk's true origin, I guess, and more about the elderly evil, whatever you want to call it. They keep changing names. They need to stop doing that. That's my big gripe about this. Because there's like half a dozen names they've named this evil, and they need to just stick to one. Stick to one. Like, please. Hulk runs into S Inspector Pinkerton. And for those who don't know who this is, you haven't been reading Strange Academy, because apparently he is a ghost detective who worked with who works with the Academy, worked with Brother Voodoo and Doctor Strange, and so he's teaming up with Hulk because they're trying to find Brother Voodoo, because the seal that Brother Voodoo put on Hulk to protect him from the evil is weakening, and he needs it to either get strengthened or fix it, whatever you want to say. So Pinkerton and Hulk search for Brother Voodoo. They search a, it looks like an abandoned castle, almost looks like Frankenstein's castle. And he, as they go search, there's a basement, and it kind of looks like Frankenstein's castle because you see all these corpses, all modified to like what they even look kind of like Frankenstein. And one of them attacks Hulk. Of course, Hulk beats the crap out of it, and they're like, "Your seal is weakening. We almost have you." This is where they run into Brother Drum, which is Brother Voodoo's actual brother.
Yeah,
Okay.
the one that's dead.
Apparently he came and he joined the side of the this evil, blaming the Hulk for apparently them t attacking Brother Voodoo and this, that, and the other, which we still don't know the extent of what's like everything. But apparently he kind of dismisses Inspector Pinkerton. He just kind of waves his hands, and that's taken care of. And then he sends Hulk into this dark realm, where he sees a version of Betty. We don't know if this is Betty or not. Even Hulk questions if this is Betty, going, "I've been tricked before. Like, what are you? Who are you?" And she's like, "I am Betty, but this is where we are all from. Like, I'm assuming anybody who has been exposed to Gamma. So this is all has to deal with Gamma. The we may get the origin of Gamma. I don't know. But it's getting really cool. It is. This feels very Immortal Hulk, without it being, I want to say, as confusing. It's a little bit more simplistic, but you're still getting like the grotesque. Like, you're even seeing the cover here. This is definitely like Immortal Hulk-esque, where it's a very grotesque version of Hulk. And there, and this Betty is about to explain what this is, where this is, and that is the end of this book. Very short. It's not a very, exciting book, but it does, it is ex telling the story, and it is extending the story.
So are we going to get Harpy Betty or are we going to get Red Hulk Betty? That's what I want to know.
I don't know
Okay.
that.
Well, then I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, I know they're coming out with a new version of Hulk. This has already been spoiled. So this is, I'm imagining we're going to get a new evil version of Hulk. Yay, because we have we need another one of those. But I'm curious about it. I want to see where this goes. I'll give it a 10 out of 12 just because it was relatively short. And again, you're not seeing what happens to the girl that he's with. She's out of the picture right now. So this is just about Hulk and Banner and this, that, and the other. Betty does say that the main reason why the seal has weakened so badly is because Hulk's refusal to cooperate with Banner is a big reason why. So maybe we will see the like a reuniting of Bruce and Hulk to fight back against this evil. I don't know, but it's always interesting to see.
Very cool. All right. My last book is Star Trek Strange New Worlds, The Seeds of Salvation. But before I tell you about this book, If you have not watched this week's episode, there is a Pittsburgh Easter egg in it, and you need to watch it. It is very it and like if you don't, if you are not from the Pittsburgh area, you will miss it. Like if you're not paying attention. But it is very funny, and I'll tell you what it is when we get into the spoiler section, but I just wanted to bring that up. All right. So this book starts it with Nurse Chapel's log. Nurse Chapel's the one third one from the left. Or third one going to the right, I should say. So she is basically bored exploring some planets with the away team with Ortega and Spock and why can't I think of her name? Una, who's Rebecca Romijn's character. So from left to right, it's Ortega, Una, Nurse Chapel, and Spock on the cover there. So they kind of come back to the ship and they're talking to Captain Pike, and they're just kind of like, like these last couple away team missions have been really boring. Nurse Chapel calls one of her old friends who's exploring this ice planet, and she's like, huh, maybe I'll go visit you while we go to this other planet because that's just what we need to do. So they end up going to this planet, but only because so they were gonna go down there to visit anyway. Then they find out right before they were gonna do that that everyone on the planet, all the life signs on the planet have disappeared. So they go down to the base that the other scientists are looking at. It's kind of abandoned. They have to go 3 miles down into the planet, and they find the research facility's robot, whose name is D6, and he takes them even further and into like a basically a spaceship for them to travel. Or sorry, it's a submarine. So they go underwater under the ice, and that's where they kind of leave off the first issue. So while the art in this book is awesome, and it does kind of feel like a Star Trek episode, it's kind of slow, and it was very slow for me. Like, as a Star Trek fan, as a fan of Strange New Worlds, which is one of the best Star Trek shows we've ever gotten, which, by the way, in the timeline falls right before the original series because it's Pike being captain, right before Kirk becomes captain, and they so this book, like I said, was a little slow off the offtake. So I'm only gonna give it a 6 out of 12 because I really love the art, but the story was just a little bit slow for me. But they did a good job kind of capturing everybody's face for this from the show. I thought they did a really good job of that, and kind of, and they did write the characters. Like, if you watch the show and then read this book, you can read it in their voices, and it works out really well. So that's why I'm doing that. So, but yeah, that is all of the comics for this week. So, all right, now we're gonna talk some spoiler stuffs. So, if you don't like spoilers, GTFO, now's your time. And while people are getting the hell out, I will say, so the new Quantum Leap hit Netflix this week, and
Oh,
I've been
yeah.
watching. I'm about halfway through the first season, and it's actually pretty good for being a rebooted series, like because it's a continuation of the original. Like it's like a 30 years later type thing. Sam's still lost. They reboot the Quantum Leap program. But they changed a couple things that kind of bother me sometimes, like the guy leaping, and I think they're gonna explain this. The guy leaping goes outside of his timeline, and there's no waiting room where like the guy that he leaps into, the person he leaps into, ends up being there. Like that doesn't happen. So like they can't talk to them. And it might just be that they updated the technology a little bit to do that. But all the stories they've done were pretty good. There was a really good one about the was it 89 earthquake in San Francisco, that was really good. I kind of dig it. So, all right, now we're gonna get spoilery. So here's my Star Trek spoiler, my Pittsburgh Star Trek Star Stranger World spoiler. So they are that this episode this week, they end up trying to do like a like almost like a shore leave style place, like where they're gonna go and do like some relax and rest, R&R, you know, rest relaxation. And the planet is called Pre-Manti 3. Okay. And at one point, so this episode is called Four and a Half Vulcans, right? So for the crew become the full Vulcan, like because they have to go and talk to this planet that has known the Vulcans before, like for a long time, like even though they don't have warp, so it's pre-prime directive knowing of Vulcan, but their sensors are like super huge, like super good. So people, like they if they were show up as like a human, it'd be weird. So Pike, Una, Noonien Soon, and Uhura all become a Vulcan through like a medical thing where they actually become Vulcan, and then they'd like shit on Spock the whole time for only being half Vulcan.
Oh.
And there's so Uhura is sort of dating Ortega's younger brother, and like so Ortega comes up and it's like, hey, just so you guys know, like they brought these the they brought like some like sandwiches from this planet, and they're crazy good, and they put French fries on the sandwich, and I was just like, shut the fuck up. So that's your Pittsburgh spoiler for that, and the fact that the planet's called Pre-Manti 3 was pretty awesome. Patton Oswalt is in this episode, and it is
Of course he
hilarious.
is. Of
He
course he is.
plays, so his character is a Vulcan who is have been raised by parents that are so infatuated with Earth that they named him and his cousin and his sister actual Earth names. So his name is Doug. Like, right? Yeah, right. And like, and then his brother's name's Pete and his cousin's name's Susan.
God.
And yeah, and
That's
so
like
him and
naming, it's like
right, so him
naming your
and it,
cat this. Jeez.
right, so him and Una are like ex-lovers, like, and they can't control themselves when they're around each other. Like, it's really funny. Like, she like turns into like, she's like normally Rebecca Romijn's character, because she's the XO, right? She's the number one, and she's referred to as number one, just like Riker was. But she, normally she's like very militant and understands like tactics and stuff like that. But when she sees this guy, she's like, Spock, you have to come with me because I can't control myself. And he's like, what? So they get over there, and she just like, she eventually has to lie to Doug and be like, I'm married to Spock, we have two kids, blah blah blah, so that he would not try to, you know, get with her. And then eventually, like, Spock's like, you need to leave. Like, he spills a drink on her, and then like he's like, oh, I'm gonna go help my wife clean up. And then he's like, you need to leave so I could talk to him. So he leaves, or she leaves, and then he ends up talking to her. And it's just really hilarious. Like, this whole episode is just so stupidly funny.
Jeez.
So I really
Plus
recommend
Patton
people.
Oswalt, that's why.
Well, this show has a great does a great job of like classic Trek, like original series vibe, updated to like the almost like the same kind of look that we got in the Kelvin timeline, which is the Abrams verse, with a little bit of that vibe too of the characters, but also a lot of humor. Like, they put a real good chunk of humor in it. Like, there's an episode coming where they turn into Muppets. There's a episode, like, there was a musical episode last season.
So they're just ripping off of Buffy and Angel because they did that too.
Kind of, but in a Star Trek way. Like,
Yeah.
and like if you're a big Star Trek fan, you'll understand what I mean by that. But it's very, very cool to watch. All right. Now we can talk Peacemaker. So, and you have not seen this, right? So like, but
No.
you don't care, I assume.
I watched the first season. It was okay. And I respect Cena for putting his spin on it. And he's really good. He's funny in it. I'm just not. Again, it's a character in DC that nobody gives a shit about. And
You're right.
again, it's. I think that is. His name escapes me. It's right on the tip of my tongue. Shit.
James Gunn.
James Gunn's forte is taking an unknown character or a character no one gives a shit about and making you care about him.
Yeah,
And
agreed.
I give him credit for that. I just wish he'd pick better characters. There's so many characters to choose from.
Right.
Or again, I would kill for a Dr. Fate series. I would kill for an Etrigan series.
Yeah.
Like, I want to see those characters like get more love. But a human that basically his only talent is I kill people and my helmet has powers. Okay,
Yeah.
whatever. You know,
Yeah.
but like I said, John Cena is funny. He's funny in this.
Yeah.
I give him credit, you know, he's an okay wrestler. I was never a John Cena wrestling fan of him, but I
Me
give him
either.
credit in Hollywood for probably be even better actor than The Rock and Hulk Hogan. He
Oh,
has
definitely
taken
better than
his level.
Hogan. Holy
Yeah,
shit.
but as far as Hollywood, he has taken his level up there. And he tends to be really good in his roles, and he puts his entire self into it, whether it be silly, evil, badass, whatever. He puts his whole heart into it, and I give him total respect for that. That's why I like him as a person. You know, I may watch this season later. I'm just not gonna get on like need to watch it now thing.
Why? It happened to fall very nicely where my HBO subscription was about to expire, so I bundled it with my Hulu and Disney. So I do all of it with ads for like $17 a month, like all three of them. I get all three of them for that. So, and I get enough out of all of those to pay $17 a month. Because really, like if I watch a movie on each of them a month, I've basically paid for it, because that would have been like what it used to be to rent movies, right? If you
True,
think about it. So,
but plus if you have Netflix, right?
yeah.
Okay, so you get to watch WWE too, which everything that they're doing now is they're triple charging for everything now, so
Yeah.
you at least get to watch wrestling for free
Yeah.
for Mondays.
Right. So, yeah. Anyway, so this first episode is actually really, really good. So it picks up and it does the recap of the last season, but they change the end of the recap to, instead of it being the Justice League showing up at the end, it's the Justice Gang showing up at the end. And they change it from Aquaman and Flash having the bicker to Green Lantern and Hawk Girl, right? So then, at this point he's killed his dad. He accidentally killed his brother when he was young. He saved the planet from an alien invasion. But Argus has been outed. So all the Argus people are kind of everywhere. Amanda Waller's kind of embarrassed by everything, so she's probably not going to be in the episodes anymore. So, and it's, they're trying to, I think, not connect it to the old stuff as much.
Yeah.
But so they, th so so he's got an interview with the Justice Gang to become a Justice Gang member, right? So he shows up to this like shitty plaza, like in a boarded up thing where there's just two guards standing there. And as he walks up, the white rabbit like comes out crying. Like she just bolts out crying. Like the white rabbit villain from Batman. So which was cool to
Oh.
see live. And I was like, holy crap, that was awesome. Like that's such a cool Batman Easter egg there. So he goes into his interview and it's Hawkgirl, Green Lantern, and Max Lord all behind glass, and
Oh,
they're
jeez.
flipping the switch for the mic, but Max Lord doesn't realize that it's that guy fucked it up when he made it, like when he put it together, and it doesn't actually turn off. So they're talking and like they're and he's like Peacemaker's just kind of like, what the fuck? Like, why are they shitting on me so hard? Like it's really, really kind of interesting and kind of amusing. So eventually like they say no to him, and he goes back home, and Harcourt is like having a lot of PTSD and is like picking fights at bars and shit. I don't know what they're gonna do with her this season, but it's kind of interesting. And then Peacemaker at some point, like so he has like this pocket dimension that his dad built when he was the White Dragon, and that's where he stored all of their shit, like all of his helmets, all the armor, everything. So Eagly wants to fly, but because it's snowing outside, Peacemaker's like, well, I guess I'm gonna have to let you fly around in the pocket dimension. So he opens the pocket dimension up and he's just kind of walking around and finds Eagly like pecking on this door, and he's like, what the fuck? So he opens the door and he walks into this like mansion room, and then he sees his dad. His dad's like, hey sport, what are you doing here? I didn't think you were home, blah blah blah. He's like, and like he's like, well, I'm going to bed, bye. And then he turns around and leaves, right? And gets out of there. So later he comes back and after the Justice Gang thing, and he's like, I'm gonna go see what's going on here. I need to find out what's going on with this world. My dad's in there, whatever. So he goes in there and he's like looking through the building, like the house, doesn't find his dad right away, goes out to the front porch, and his brother, who was dead as a kid in his universe, is now a full-size adult in that universe, and is like, hey brother, what are you doing, blah 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 blah. And he's just like like he's just in shock, right? And then their dad shows up. It's like, hey, come on, let's have a drink before bed, blah, blah, blah. Let's have a nightcap. So they're all sitting there, and like the dad and the brother are talking stories, and Peacemaker's just kind of like, what the fuck? So they all go to bed, and Peacemaker's about to go back, and he's like, hold on, I'm gonna check out my room here. So he goes to the room that he has in that universe, and the band posters on the wall are all like slightly different than like what would be in our world, right? So it's almost like an
So
Elseworld type thing.
it's an Earth 2, Earth 3
Yeah,
situation.
kind of. So then that universe's Peacemaker shows up and wants to kill him because he's like, who the fuck are you? Why are you in my house? Right? So they eventually go into the pocket universe and have this big fight, where at the end that universe's Peacemaker ends up getting killed, like getting like yeah, I forget what happens, like he ends up, oh, he has like a rocket pack, and somehow this one's universe Peacemaker turns it on, and he flies up and he like impales himself on this big
Ooh.
spiky chandelier thing, and at the end of it, it's holy shit, I accidentally killed myself, right? So now he's pro. I imagine this season's going to be him bouncing back and forth,
And
trying to be
forth,
Peacemaker in both. So I thought it was kind of a cool thing. I really enjoyed that first episode. And they changed the intro, different dance, different song,
Oh,
totally
that's
different.
not, no, you
Yeah,
can't do
but
that to
I don't like
people.
the song as much, but the dance is pretty good, and you can kind of see where it's going to go through the rest of the season. So and Vigilante's like working in like a burger place, like it's pretty funny. So I give the first episode like an 11 out of 12. Like I thought it was very good. It was very well written. The Justice Gang change to make it more accurate of what's going on now, like felt right, because that was the only thing we saw was at the end of the first season. It was the Justice League, and they only said like two lines. So he just recut that scene. Now, I have not checked to see if I would rewatch the ending of the first season if that last episode got changed. Because I'm curious about that.
I wouldn't think it's DC has a lot to clean up. So it's
Yeah. Well, they also said that the Blue Beetle movie will probably most likely stay canon in the newer universe. So, which I
because
thought was good because I thought that movie was pretty good.
I actually watched that and I was like, I understand why people crapped on it. I do. But there was a lot more positives and negatives in that movie. And again, if you don't know the character, you're not going to understand
Yeah.
the general gist.
I wish it would have I wish they would have not jumped immediately to Reyes. Like I wish they would have done Ted Kord first and then went to him, but I get it. But if this means we're gonna get a fucking Booster Gold, I'm okay with it. So
Does that mean we're
because
going to get a
that plays
question?
I mean that play like the Booster Gold plays right into the whole James Gunn
Well,
style
yeah.
thing. So
Again, you're also dealing with time
yeah.
travel and everything, which as that's where they're all going. It's everything's time travel, everything's multiverse, so might as
I
well
mean, as
get
long
a
as it's
character
better
that's
than the, as
it.
long as it's better than the version of when we got on Smallville, I don't care. Even though that episode was pretty good, and the Blue Beetle on that looked really good too. So, but anyway, all right. That's pretty much all we got for tonight. We'll see everybody next week. If there's stuff that you guys want us to check out, review, or change up from our normal
Discuss.
format, or if anyone just wants to come on and be a third on here some night, let us know. We'll totally do that.
And just to send off here, happy birthday to Jack Kirby because today is his
Oh,
birthday.
that's true. It is Jack Kirby's birthday. To the king. I
To the
may have to go have
king.
a cigar now. It'll be all right.
I'll do a
So.
shot before I go to bed tonight. A shot and a pop a edible and I'm going to bed.
There you go. So, all right. Thanks a lot, guys. We will catch you next week. It's been fun.